Hey. Hey, hey. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh. Come on now, gather round, glad you could join us. Spreading some love to start your morning. No shame in my game. I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
What's up? It's your girl Athena Stewart here. Welcome back to another episode of Life Unapologetic with Athena. I'm super excited that you guys are joining me for another episode. I know they've been coming out rather sporadic, but honestly, I'm trying to find my groove in this area of consistency while still really honestly just enduring. And so I wanted to bring my podcast listeners along with me today on my radio show, Friday Brunch with Athena at 216 The Beat, the radio station, because I felt like the conversation needed to go over all of the platforms that I'm associated with, because I feel like a lot of people are dealing with similar things. And so I didn't want to leave you guys out on this episode. I want to thank all of my listeners who listen to my podcast regularly when there's something dropped new. All of those who are new to the podcast, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad and happy that you're here. I hope that I say something that resonates with you and encourages you back to God. That definitely is my why. That definitely is my why. And the reason why I do what I do is to help others go lead them back to the Father. Because there's nothing like being able to rest and trust in God. Today's episode is titled Secret Plots and Sudden Shots. Okay, let that sink in for a minute. Secret Plots and Sudden Shots. You know, a lot of times we hear the people of God, the Christians, the believers talk about the suddenly, right? The suddenly of God. But I don't think we really pay attention to the suddenly of the enemy, those plots that seem to happen suddenly, but the signs were all around that it was coming, right? The signs were all around that it was coming. The word of God, it gives us warning that it is coming. And so when it happens, it seems sudden, right? It seems secret, but it was really in the open all along. Listen, again, I'm excited for you guys joining me on this special episode via my radio show. And so I hope that you enjoy the conversation. Again, you are joining me this morning. Life Unapologetic with Athena is merging this morning with Friday Brunch with Athena to hold this conversation, Secret Plots and Sudden Shots. So let's jump into the show, shall we?
Come on now, gather round, glad you could join us. Spread us some love, just start your morning. No shame in my game. I just wanna praise his name. Living free, but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Friday Brunch with Athena here on 216 The Beat radio station. I'm super excited to be here, be your host and your facilitator. I am Athena Stewart, founder and CEO of the Spiritual Growth Academy, founder and CEO of my new business, SGA Clean Solution Now. Yeah, that's a whole story in itself. I'm super excited to be here yet another week. Today we're going to be talking about secret plots and sudden shots of the enemy. Secret plots and sudden shots of the enemy. It has been a rough few weeks for me in this month, in the second quarter. And I really had felt like I was down for the count. I'm telling y'all, I really felt like I was down for the count. I was really contemplating on shutting a lot of things down. Just drawing back. You know, when you're hit with sudden shots from the enemy, a lot of times it can cause you to draw back. It can cause you to self-isolate, right? And then all of the things happen in that space. All of the things happen, rejection, insecurities, all of the things that are rooted in fear. And so I was listening to one of my ride or dies. I feel like she's my ride or die sis. She's like my twin. We call each other twin. Kathy Bear. Y'all have to check her out. She has a new community coming forth. I'm super excited about it because she's really real on some stuff. But she was we're in a 30-day consecration and we're going through the book of Psalms. I think we're doing like 5 chapters of Psalms a day. And so she was reading and she was really just speaking into me. I mean, she was really, really, really speaking into me this morning. And as you guys know, we have been doing a daily story read, and I apologize to all my listeners who were looking for the story read yesterday. I literally came in this office to do the story read, and I couldn't. I just couldn't. I'm not a fake person. I'm not fake. I'm really authentic, and I'm really honest, and I share as much as I feel comfortable sharing and as much as I feel God wants me to share, and that's it. I share as much as I'm comfortable with sharing about myself and what God would allow me to share, and that's it. I felt like I needed to repeat that for the replay and those who may be listening who have some thoughts. And so I could not do the book read yesterday. As you guys know, we are talking about the King's Prophetic Voice. We are reading a book called The King's Prophetic Voice, and we're learning about all the different ways that God speaks to us in this season, all of the different ways that we can expect to hear from God and ways that we maybe not have thought about. And honestly, I've been struggling to really zone in on the voice of God. Y'all know I'm very real. I'm just going to be real with you. I've been struggling to zone in on really what to do in my current situation. As you guys know, part of my journey, there's so many parts to my journey, and I've shared parts of them with on my platforms. My daughter was affected by human sex trafficking almost 9 years ago when she was 14 years old. It was due to a rape, and then it transpired into the lifestyle. And so I got a chance to talk with her verbally on the phone this weekend, and a lot of people know my story. We've had so many ups and downs on this journey where I'm able to get her, intercept her, but then something draws her back in. I know that they're saying this month is the month of May mental health, and that's great. I'm glad that they chose a month to have mental health. Some of us are dealing with these things year-round, but thank God that they have something to really draw light on the topic. And so I was able to talk to her, and I really didn't know where the conversation was going to go. And it went left. It was totally dark. Come to find out, she's not, this is the hard part. It's hard to say she's not being trafficked when there's a male adult who's holding her hostage, literally, right? And it's difficult to say she's not being trafficked because supposedly she's not being prostituted on the street. I think any human being that holds another human being as a commodity and uses them for whatever their purposes desire is trafficking. Every human being should have the freedom to come and go as they plead, as they please. And so I had no thought that I was going to have this conversation with my daughter. I'm running hard after trying to build my business, my new business, as well as try to sustain my current business, which all have been a struggle while dealing with some church hurt from believers who decided that their questions were valid and important to bring isolation and rejection and all these other things. And never did I ever think in the moment of being in these throes of just all of these things happening was the fact that they were secret plots and sudden shots of the enemy. It didn't click. Now, mind you, God always tells us and warns us of things to come, whether or not we meditate on those things or really put those things to heart. God never allows the enemy to do things without first warning us or showing us. And it's important that we do our due diligence. This is why God says, renew your mind daily in the word of God so that you're not conformed, but also so that you're not taken off guard. It's not God's heart to allow the enemy to take us off guard, but the conversation did. And I think it was a combination of trying to start a new business in a new area that really has me shook. It was a combination of dealing with people in the church, in the body of Christ, who, again, disappointed. This is something that I've experienced before. And so you take two things already transpiring and happening, and then you put the one of the closest things to my heart in the mix, and now you really got a full-blown secret plot, and you and he really took that sudden shot, and it has been effective. And I'm not giving him glory, I'm just being honest, because the Word of God says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So I have to be honest and transparent, because that's the only way I know how to roll. And so, you know, talking to my daughter, she's in a space where she has no form of communication. She was able to get a phone to communicate. Apparently, the individual let her for a time communicate, and she was really trying to be strong, and that broke down. And when she broke down, I had to be strong, but I was breaking down inside. I asked her a question. I said, "If I can come and get you, will you come?" And she said, "Yes, Mom, I will come." She sent the address, which was very vague. And then that kind of put me in a tailspin of, okay, God, you know, I've been up against pimps before. I've been up against, you know, this foe. I've been in this territory before, but each time I get intimidated because I don't know what I'm going into. And I'm thinking, how am I going to strategize this? How am I going to do this? I gotta drive 8 hours to where she is, hoping that I can intercept her. And it's just been a week of hell, okay? It's been a week of emotional and mental hell. You know, I'm forgetting everything else that has transpired up until this point. And now I'm just focused on, again, trying to rescue my daughter. Here's the issue. And I was talking to a sister. Her name is Prima Donna. She has an amazing event coming up. She has an amazing organization where she tries to expose this type of information, this lifestyle, to younger women and their parents so that they don't get trafficked or brought into the life. So she is an organization about preventative action. And so I'm excited for what she's doing, because what I feel gets lost in translation, and I promise we're going to jump into the material. I'm just going in whatever direction I feel led by God. I feel like what's really lost in translation is there are not many resources for women who are in the life, number one. There's not many resources for women who are in the life after the age of 18, number two. I know that you hear a lot about organizations and nonprofits and this, that, and the third, but the reality is they don't have the resources to help. They don't have the ingenuity to help as they say they do. Maybe in third world countries. Can't quantify that, not there, because I'm not in a third world country, but I'm dealing with this struggle here in America, in a very affluent area of San Francisco. And so I don't know about Pakistan or Afghanistan or any other country that's third world where this is happening. I know about what's happening here in America, and I know it because I'm living the experience alongside of my daughter. And so it's not easy when your daughter says, "I'm being held captive," to pick up the phone and call the police. Why? Because usually these women have a record, and so they're afraid of the police because the police do not have the education in an advocacy way to advocate for the victim. The victim is no longer considered a victim after the age of 18. My daughter's 21. So there is an intimidation of the help. There's an intimidation of the help. And not that police are bad, and not all police are bad, but these are the 9 times out of 10 experiences that they have. And so I can't pick up the phone and call the local authorities and say, "My child is being held captive. Can you help?" Because they may intercept her. But as she has said, she says, "Mom, when I tried to call the police, they would drop me off here or they would drop me off there, and he would come back and intercept me." So there's a lot of things that I feel like society doesn't understand about this lifestyle, including my family. That was another hiccup to the plan, was no one wanted me to bring her home. They didn't want to be involved in what comes with her. And this is another thing that these girls are experiencing, is their family not wanting to support because of the stigma. Come on, somebody. And this is what I experienced earlier this week with the body of Christ that were supposed to be attached to me or partnershiped or walking the journey, the stigma of your past, which reflects on your present, which has everything to do with your future, can cause the church to disconnect secret plots and sudden shots of the enemy. Now, let me tell you how that came around. The secret plot was somebody making a phone call to somebody, and then that somebody taking it upon themselves to show up on my phone asking me questions about my life that were super personal, that you just weren't invited into that space, which led somebody else to call, then somebody else to call. The secret plots, right? And so the sudden shots were the violating questions that you had no business asking because you weren't allowed into that space. I didn't give you permission. We have to learn to create boundaries, okay? This goes also into trafficking. If we teach our children how to, we need to learn first, but if we could teach our children how to create boundaries, healthy boundaries, people wouldn't be able to penetrate spaces of privacy, spaces of security, okay? And I feel like that's something that maybe I didn't do well with my daughter when I had the opportunity, was to create, help teach her how to create healthy boundaries. I think I was more of a parent who was concerned on providing the best. And here's the other misconception about trafficking, is we as parents think because we live in an affluent area and they go to the best school district, and we give them the name brand of everything. My daughter had everything the best. From the day she was born, she never lacked anything outside of the best. I was intentional about my child never experiencing what I experienced growing up. Never to think that now, 9 years later, she's 21, 9 years later from the age of 14, would she be where she is today and experiencing what she's experiencing today. Mind blowing. And so as I was waking up this morning, knowing I had to come on the radio, really not feeling it. Really not wanting to be here. I'm just being honest with y'all. Because of what I'm dealing with. Some people think because we're influencers and we're leaders and we encourage and we release the word of God, that for some reason we may be invincible. I always tell you all that I always have to walk through what I'm releasing. In my community, my virtual community, the Spiritual Growth Academy, we are going through a journey of wellness. And we're talking about coping with stress this week in the community. And this is material that I've been wanting to release for a very long time in my coaching practice, but I decided to just do it in my community, never thinking that the gun or the hand or the circumstance or the situation would be turned around on me. And so I'm literally having to walk through what I'm experiencing while trying to produce this material to a community, while trying to encourage, while trying to uplift, while trying to get other individuals from their process of transition through the bridge of wellness to results, while yet I'm over here trying to keep the face of I'm strong and I'm powerful and I'm bold, which are all of the things that I am. But guess what? There's been some shots. And guess what? They have been effective. There's been some chinks in my armor. And guess what? Some of the arrows have gotten through. And so as I was listening to Kathy Bear on Facebook, and I was thinking about my daughter this morning, and every day, I'm not crying on this show, God, so I'm gonna need you to just hold that back. Every day I have been just simply saying, God, I need you now. Smokey Norful song has been in my head every day that I have woken up. I have no other words. I have no journal entries. I have no verbal prayers of me laying on my face. I have none of that. I've consecrated for my 3 days this month, because we consecrated my community every 3 days of each month to give that to God. And we go over a very thorough list of things that we want to petition before God for the month, the days and the weeks ahead. But all I can get out is, I need you now. I need you now. I don't have any other words. I don't have any other expressions other than, I need you now. Other mornings I wake up, I just put the song on and I allow the song to minister to God on my behalf, because I don't have the fortitude or the energy to speak back, I was talking to a friend who knew my daughter. Her and my daughter went to high school, junior high, and were going to high school together before we moved to San Francisco. We were in Brentwood in Southern California, and we moved to San Francisco. And she saw a post that I posted on Facebook. I posted very erratically, and you guys know I don't post a lot of stuff on Facebook unless it is very purposeful. But I posted about human sex trafficking not being well discussed and people not being well versed on it. And so she reached out, and she had no idea that my daughter was still in the situation. She thought that was something that we had overcome. And it just, it reminded me of how long I've been in this fight with my daughter, and how effective it still is today as a tool for the enemy to use. And so as I was trying to get out of bed this morning, because it's been very hard to get out of bed, it's been very hard to respond to people's prayers and their everything that they've been sent, it's just been very difficult to respond. It's even been difficult to talk to people who have been dumping all of what they feel and what they need and not even knowing what I'm going through or having an idea and me still having to respond to them with a smile and be encouraging. It's just been a rough month. And so I got my feet out of bed this morning and got Holy Spirit said Psalm 64. Holy Spirit said Psalm 64, and I immediately knew what he was talking about. Psalm 64 is a very, very instrumental warning to the body of Christ about how the enemy attacks us, how the enemy plots, how the enemy encourages one another, how the enemy feel like they're invincible against the people of God, against those who are doing things for the kingdom. And so Psalm 64 says, "Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Hear my voice, O God." And he wasn't talking about hear me verbally, but hear my voice from my heart. Some of us are in a season and in a situation where we don't have the words. We don't have the words. So I'm going to need you to hear my heart, because I can't verbalize what I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing. And I cannot but relate, because I have been in a tailspin of, God, you told me to use my voice. I know who I am today. I know what my past is. I know what decisions I made, who made me who I am today. Whether agreed or not agreed by people, I know who I am. I know what I present to you. I know my relationship to you. But I can't help but feel this secret plot and the sudden shots of the enemy. You know, I said, God, I can't even talk. I can't verbalize these things, but I can't help but to think how focused we have been on the suddenlies of God, and we forgot about the suddenlies of the enemy. And so here David is saying, God, I don't have no voice, but I need you to hear my meditation. I need you to hear the reverberation of my heart. I need you to hear what I'm saying deep down inside. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. The enemy tries to pump in fear in many different ways. He tries to pump in fear of our past, right? Try to bring up blackmail that will potentially shut us up and sit us down. I guess I was making too much noise on the mountain of media, so he had to kind of come with a tactic to shut me down. I guess maybe I was climbing on the mountain and I was reaching areas that maybe he didn't expect for me to reach, and depths that he didn't expect for me to go. And here I am going up this mountain. And David says, preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Fear has a lot of different things that it can do to us as people, especially as believers, because a lot of what we're required to do is believe on the unseen. We're required to believe in what we can't see. I'm required to believe that God is protecting my daughter, but I can't see it. I have to trust and I have to believe it. I'm required to believe that God is going to bring her out in its due season, but I can't see that due season. So I'm required to sustain my belief and keep feeding my hope so that I can one day get to that point. But in the meantime and the between time I have to fight off the fear of the enemy on my life. Who am I talking to today? This is just real talk. It's unscripted. It's off the cuff. And so I hope it helps somebody. He says, preserve my life. God, preserve our lives. Because I know people don't understand my walk. But I had to walk through perversion and sexual immorality to be able to understand where my daughter is, to be able to understand where people like her come from and where people like me come from. And while it is unorthodox and maybe the church and ritualistic religion doesn't identify with it, the fact of the matter it is today in 2022, who I am is a reality. And there is a whole community who have to walk in the same reality and deal with the same church that has been stagnant for years, but yet still consistent in the nonsense, still consistent in the religious ideologies, in the religious retaliations, in the religious teardowns. They also, in some ways, have become secret plots with their sudden shots. Yeah. Although the people out here are dying. They can't see past the fact that Jesus is nothing but love and that he is the one who sanctifies and purifies man in relationship. And it doesn't matter if you can't see that process for yourself. Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. God tells you, look for the fruit. God tells you, look for the fruit. You're too busy. Some of us are too busy sizing up people that we don't understand from the exterior, that we don't get the fact that these people already know what they look like from the exterior. These people already know what others think about them based on their exterior. But you haven't been in every part of my journey. You see some of my glory and you want to talk about some things, but you don't know the full extent of my story. Why? Because you haven't been allowed in that space. It's not for you to know. And it's not for me to make you feel good about what you don't know. I digress. I'm talking from a space of what I've had to experience. And as I've been going through this week, and thank you, Holy Spirit, I got out the shower this morning. And I heard God tell me, it's relevant. It's relevant. Who you are today is relevant. Wow, it was not the plan. Wow, who you are today was not the necessary design. It's relevant for today. Why? Because the enemy, he strives to turn back the laws. The word of God in Daniel says that the enemy will talk about God. He will tear God down. And he harasses the saints with all various different things. The sudden plots, the sudden shots of the enemy. And it's all designed to bring us down. It's all designed to bring division. It's all designed to bring the pointing of fingers so that we're off track of what the purpose is, which is to build up, to encourage, to love, yes, to correct, but when you have the authority to do so, when the correction is in your sphere of influence, not on your opinion or your ideology or what you've been taught or what you think. I digress. He says, preserve my life. Hide me from the secret plots of the wicked. And he reminded me of what the person said to me that transpired this whole month of discouragement was, I received a call. And all I could think of is, well, whoever you received the call for to discuss me, that person didn't call me. That person didn't have a conversation for me. So that's a secret plot that whomever have gotten and decided to fall into, that's on you. You got to deal with, that's between you and God. Secret plots. And so God said, David said, hide me from the secret plots of the wicked. Because he understood that whether or not it's relevant, it still can be effective. So I need you to give me some tough skin. I need you to build some endurance in me for the things that are to come. Because as they plot, and they shoot, they shot. It can be effective, God. And I don't want to fall because of somebody's opinion of me. I don't want to give up because it doesn't seem worth enduring anymore. I know the thoughts, David. I know the thoughts because I said, God, you know what? I'm good. I don't have the energy nor the time for this. Because while people have their opinions and their thoughts and all of these other phrases and words that I could shoot out, I don't have the energy. I have a child who is held against her will, and this has been my story. I don't have the energy for how people feel about me, because I'm living a real life and a real life story, and I know what I put at the feet of God. I know what I have to wake up to every morning and say, God, encourage me and empower me to stand and do what you tell me to do, because I walk in a space where no one will understand, and it's not for them to, because it's not for them. So they can't understand. I'm reminded how God said that the people of the world will mock the church because they don't understand. And part of that text says it's not meant for them to understand. They don't get the opportunity to understand. They're not privileged to understand. It's not my heart that any should perish. But the understanding comes from those who have made a choice to say yes to me. And who is it for someone to say that your yes isn't truly your yes? They're not in your relationship with God. Some people want to measure us up as if they truly know the depths of our heart and the meditations and the communications that we have with God in our private time. The word tells me that when I go to pray, to shut the door, and I go before the Lord in my private time, it's not for you and they to know. It's for me and God. My mind is blown by the process of people who think that they know something about a person that they have no idea. They don't know what that private time looks like. They don't know what that consecrated time looks like. They don't know the unspoken words and what that looks like and what that feels, but yet they have an opinion. And when I think of sex trafficking, I think of everybody who has an opinion. And I feel like this text can go so far. Have an opinion. Well, they should, and they should know better, and they should just run, and they should just this, and they should just that, and you have no idea. You have no idea. You can't even begin to fathom. You can't even begin to understand unless you've walked in the shoes. Ah, come on, Holy Ghost. You know, when someone passes, and we say, you know, I sympathize. I'm sorry for your loss. Some people come with a whole lot of words, but you can't understand the depth of something unless you've walked in it. And this is what the church needs to get. Shut your mouth unless you've walked it. Speak on only what you know and what you don't. Intercede. Speak on what you've walked in, because that will be towards the people you're called to and not the people you're not called to not offend. Speak on what God has called you to walk in and intercede on the rest. That's just my own advice. That's just my own advice. I don't speak on anything that I haven't walked in. Everything that I've ever talked about is things that I have walked in or have experienced, because that's all that I know. And I sure enough don't judge nobody, because I know I got things that I'm constantly laying at God's feet. So I thank God for the mind to only speak on what I know. Speak on what I've walked through. And I thank God for my life in every turn, in every high and every low, because it has given me the opportunity and the fortitude to speak to a people that most people disregard as worthless, disregard as abominations. That's not God's heart. I'm going to continue. He says, preserve my life from the rebellion of the workers of iniquity. And some of us don't even understand what iniquity is. Some of us, we so focus on sin that we forget that there's also iniquities. There's also transgression in addition to sin. Iniquity is wickedness. It's that heart of wickedness. And unfortunately, sometimes, even though the body of Christ think they're doing something for the better of the church, they don't understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And so while you think you may be doing the right thing, it's not necessarily the right thing. Why? Because you didn't pray about it. You just opened your mouth. You moved on your own thoughts and your own opinions. He says, hide me from the rebellion of those who are wicked. Those who are wicked. wisdom wanted to shut me down. Yeah, I know, I know, I know, Satan. I get it, but I'm gonna bring him back. I'm gonna bring him back, cause you have no pool over here. Sorry, wisdom, y'all are back. He goes on to say, "Who sharpens their tongue like a sword." See, we gotta constantly tell one another in the faith, to mind your words, that life and death are in the power of the tongue, but the wicked don't need to be reminded. It says here that they sharpen their tongue. They fully understand the power that they have through their words. They get it. It says, "And behind their bows to shoot their arrows are bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear." Yeah, the blameless. Your words are as if you understand, as if you have some proof on another person. Here's what it's come down to, and this is what I noticed in human sex trafficking and dealing with law enforcement when it comes to trying to get help or dealing with organizations that are supposedly designed to help the victim, is that they think they know. They assume that they understand the situation in its totality. They assume that they understand what tactics to use to bring about trust. And oftentimes, they're so far from the truth. And this happens to some of us when we decide to speak on things, on people, put our mouths on people's lives. We assume that we know, but you have no idea. Your assumption could be no further from the truth. Be assured and rest assured, and maybe even reevaluate whether or not you're falling in the area of secret plots and sudden shots of the enemy. Let him not use you because of your religious ideologies, your perspective, and your individual opinion. David said, "Hear my voice, O God, in my meditation." This is an interesting turn of phrase. Either David meant that this meditation was vocal so that God could hear his voice, or that God would hear the silent expression of his heart as his voice. Come on, somebody. Either way, as with many times in Psalms, David cried to God for help. David cried to God for help. He said, he put it this way. He can but pray. I can only but pray, God. Whether I verbalize or whether you hear my heart, I can only but pray. He says, "Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy." The word fear is commonly translated as dread and speaks of something greater than the normal fear of battle. David knew how crippling this kind of dread or fear could be, and so he prayed to be kept from it. Some of us get crippled in our fear, and our fear turns to dread. Mm-hmm. And after the calls and after all of the penetrating conversations, I didn't know if I was reliving my experiences and having to measure up. You know when you go and you're trying to get hired, you're trying to get a job, or you're trying to get in a community, and there's all of these steps you got to go through, and it plays with your mind on whether you're good enough. If you go on an interview and you got all these people, now you start measuring yourself up on whether or not God has called you, whether or not you have the skill, whether or not you have the talent, whether or not their resume may be better than yours, whether or not they may verbalize and speak better in the interview. And then there's this internal thing that goes on because you really want to be a part of this thing, but at the same time, you're challenged by all of the insecurities, and it's okay to have fear, right? We all get nervous, we're human, but on the interview, sometimes that fear turns into dread of the what if I don't get it, and your bills start popping in your head, and all the reasons of why you need this job is playing in your mind, and you fall victim to that thing. And I remember feeling like that. After all of these negative conversations, it was a dread. I was just like, I don't even want to show up. I don't even want to be in the space where with people who don't understand that they don't understand. With people who would you would think, because of relationship with the Holy Spirit as it's communicated, that they would hear from God on the very thing that they should be hearing from God from. And I'm thinking, God, I don't even want to show up. Why? Because I allowed the enemy to turn fear into dread. Come on, somebody. It says that dread can also be paralyzing instead of being fearful, which can often be sobering and healthy. We become paralyzed. We become paralyzed. Maybe we're thinking about what others may think and how others may feel and who may walk away. And I definitely have people walk away. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, did episodes about it. Go back and listen. They're there written in time. They're there written in time. And so I know the recourse. I understand the aftermath of what happens when people decide to speak on their opinion of your life, of your journey, of your call, and might I even dare your title. That word, I wish they could disintegrate and obliterate. What would people do without their title? David said, hide me from the secret plots of the wicked. David knew there were dangerous enemies plotting his destruction. He felt powerless to make them stop, so he prayed. And the NIV gives us a good sense of this in translating, hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked. And sometimes we're looking for the wicked to be sinners. Sometimes we're looking for the wicked to be the world. And sometimes that's not what it comes dressed up in. Some people just are weak to be used by the enemy. And this is what causes division and bitterness and offense in the body. He says, who sharpen their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows. Bitter words. Words create worlds, but words also create death. We have to be conscious of our words. We have to be conscious of what privilege we think we have versus what we actually have in the lives of others. I don't care about your title. I don't care about your position. I don't care about your experience with God. I don't care about what your pastor told you. I don't care about what Sister Susan told you. Be conscious of your words, because you don't understand the full story. Anybody can be Private Eye and go investigate and dig this, that, and this, and that, but you don't understand the story. Words have power. And bitter words can cause death. As I was bringing Instagram on, there was a post from a young girl who committed suicide. And she left a very detailed letter before leaving this earth. And you could hear all of the things that she had to walk through to get to that point. What would it look like if the people of God were focused on God? And not focus on all of the intricacies that we think make up God and make up community and make up faith and make up belief and make up religion. We become so segregated. We're so separate from the world that we're actually like the world. Can't tell one from the other. And if I didn't know anything about the fruit of the Spirit, if I really didn't have a relationship with God, I might have gone away to depression. I might be on Prozac this morning. I may have needed to call my doctor and say, you know, I can't deal with my emotions. I feel like I'm off balance. Can you prescribe me some Prozac? Can you prescribe me an antidote? I might start claiming the things that I feel. I might start claiming depression. I might start claiming anxiety. And that leads to suicidal thoughts and breakdown in my mental health. I thank God that I have relationship with Him. I don't care how low I get, and I don't care how hard it is to get up. Hallelujah. I thank God that I know God for myself. And one thing that I walked away from those negative conversations was, I know that I know God. And nobody can take that from me. I don't care what you say. I don't care how you dress it up. I know God for myself, and I've always been on a journey to help others seek and see God authentically for themselves. Why? Because I know the importance that when the secret plots and the sudden shots of the enemy come, you won't stand unless you know God for yourself. And I don't care how you look at him, and I don't care what that looks like for you. You have to know God for yourself. I believe God has us doing this book read, and we're talking about his voice, and we're talking about how he shows up. I believe it's because he wants those who truly want to know him to know how he talks and how he shows up and the ways that he speaks, so that we don't fall victim to depression. We don't fall victim to suicide. Come on, somebody, because it's a real formidable foe. David said, they sharpen their tongue, they sharpen their words. They know what they're doing. They know what they're saying, and yet they still do it. They know what they're doing, and they know what they're saying, and still yet they do it. Words create worlds, but words also create death. In the context of this war of lies and in the windows, the ambush will either be the prepared situation which frames an innocent man, or the shelter of anonymity from which a rumor can be launched without fear. You know, when you get on the phone, you had that conversation about this, that, or the third because you're a believer with another believer, and you got a context of scripture that validates why you should be having this inappropriate conversation that now is plain peer gossip, and you have found yourself in the seat of the scornful, but you can't see that because you saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and yet you're still having the conversation that leads you to have the conversation with other people and leads you to have the conversation with those other people talking about this, that, and the third when you don't understand that what you're doing is exactly the thing that you shouldn't be doing. I've seen it in my family too many times, even when it comes to my child and my journey with my daughter. They think they know, and they have their secret conversations about what I shouldn't have done or what I did do. You gave her too much. She was too spoiled. This is why X, Y, and Z. While yet their children aren't far better. Can't control your mouth. That's right, Kathy. David says, suddenly they shoot at me and do not fear. Have we gotten to a point where it's okay for us to talk about one another and there's no fear? I know we're in this dispensation of grace and mercy, but had that been in the old covenant, I remember stories where earth opened up and swallowed whole of those who put their mouth on the people of God, who put their mouth on the anointed of God because of what they felt and how they felt about the law and how they interpreted the context of the text. I remember it says that the earth swallowed them up. Moses said, unless you want to be in association, I recommend you move away. I'm not going to tell you what's getting ready. I just recommend you move away. And the earth swallowed them up. David knew that his enemies fired their bitter words as arrows against him. And when they did it, it didn't bother them in the least. You're so saved that you don't understand that you're missing something. You're missing conviction. You're so righteous and so holy that you're missing conviction. And this even goes outside of the church. You think that you're right in your organization or your business concept that you're missing the actual need. I want to keep it focused on trafficking. I want to keep it focused on human trafficking as a whole. You think you understand, you have no idea. You know, one thing that really bothered me when I first started speaking about my journey and my daughter's journey and how they intersected with one another is I would go to all of these seminars and I'd go to many of these church or organize seminars, and the people on the stage would have a concept of this. They analyzed and they studied, but not one of them lived it. And I would sit in the audience thinking, where are the people who can identify with the story? Because those are the people that need to be heard, because the strategy and the insight is in the actual experience, not in the analytics, not in the science. And I bring that back to the church. The strategy on how to help a demographic heal and come to the Lord is not on your ideology, not on your perspective, not on your translation of the text, but it's the experience. And I believe this is why people hear the voice of a person and they're drawn. And they find that influence of that person effective because of the experience. You find those who flock to the itchy ear, but there are people who aren't concerned about having their ear itch. They don't want a feel-good message. They want to know about the experience. And what does the outcome look like? How do I get through the low lows of this experience? I don't know how many parents I'm talking to who may be suffering with what I'm suffering with your prodigal child. How do I get through the experience? I don't know. I can't sleep at night. I can't eat. I don't want to do the things that I'm called to do because of the lows of this experience. And I go to the church and they tell me I'm praying for you and Jesus knows it all. But that doesn't help the experience. I want to hear from somebody who says, listen, I'm there with you. I don't know the full experience. I don't know the outcome. I know what I believe and I know what I trust in the word to say, but I also understand that you're in the middle of your experience. I'm talking to anybody in a season that's rough. I started a business and I need the business to generate revenue because I need to pay bills. I have to survive. And I remember... Remember when I got on the phone with my daughter, the first thing I said was, I don't have any money. Because I assumed that was going to be the conversation. And so I'm talking to all of those in a season where the experience is hard. And you're just trying to trust God. And you're trying to trust the process. I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. I don't know the outcome. But I know that God has always been faithful. He's always been dependable. He's always been consistent. And so I'm here as a testimony. My testimony is the walking through. I'm not here as on the other side. I'm not here as how it looks on the other side. I'm here from a space and a perspective of how it looks to walk through the testimony. What does that consistency look like? What does that show up looks like? I'm here as the voice that shouldn't be a voice because of the opinion of others based on the context of the word. I don't know any other way but to continue to show up like David in the midst of his testimony, in the midst of his journey. All he could do is cry out to God and say, protect me, preserve me. I know the word says that I need to persevere, but I need you to preserve my heart because I don't know how to preserve it myself. I don't know how to continue to persevere. My fight in this fight is meeting some formidable foes. I'm standing toe to toe in a new territory with the enemy, and he seems to be winning, but I'm not giving up, God. I just need you to encourage my heart. I need you to empower me to push forward, to push on. So I don't come to you with a formula or a strategy. I just come to you as I am, saying that I believe God. And it's rough right now trying to believe him, and it's rough right now trying to hear his voice, but I do hear it. As I heard it this morning when he said, speak on Psalm 64, I hear it. I know that he's speaking to me, and I know that he's still here, right here with me, when others think that that's not possible. Sorry, but it is. I am who I am, and I have walked through what I walked through because there is a people who need someone to be who they are and have walked through what they're walking through. They don't want your acronyms after your name. That's not good enough anymore. While therapy is great, it's not enough sometimes. When the therapist can't match the experience, they don't know the right questions to ask. They don't fully understand the right direction. Some people just need those who have walked through the experience. And I felt like when Holy Spirit told me that this morning, that I'm relevant. And everything I've walked through and everything I'm continuing to walk through, it's relevant for a time such as this. It's relevant for a time such as this, with so many being lost because of the word identity. Yeah. They're lost because of words. Words. It's not even the meaning of the word. It's not. It's trying to get past the labels. It's like we get stuck at the label. Because we want to label people, places, and things, because that's all we know. We don't recognize that we're doing a grave injustice to people, the very ones that we're called to be the salt and the light of the earth. We wonder why the enemy is able to put together plots without fear. Because they understand that those who are their match is focused on the wrong things. And I pray to bring that relevance back. I know I got like 6 minutes, but I honestly don't have any more energy. And so, you know, I pray that something I said bless somebody, touch somebody, Instagram, all of the different platforms, the podcast, when I launched the episode, Wisdom. And I really want to begin to talk about human trafficking. I think it's time for me to talk about the story. I think it's time for me to have the discussion. I think it's time for me to give my input and my experience as a parent who's still in the middle of this journey. Yes, my daughter's 21, but in her mind, she's 14. If you could just listen to her voice and hold a conversation with her, she's not 21. The maturity isn't there. She's strong in the sense that she's learned how to survive. But what does any species do when they're in a corner but learn to either live or to die? Whatever that looks like. But it doesn't match up to strategy. It doesn't match up to maturity. It's just simply survival. And I believe that there's some of us who are in the middle of a hard season. And we're going into survival mode. And when we get into survival mode, it ain't really about reading the Bible, and it's not really about praying, and it's not really about fasting, and it's not really about pulling up YouTube or listening to this person. We are just trying to survive. I get it. As an entrepreneur trying to start this new business and can't figure this out and can't figure that out, but I've invested so much, you get into survival mode because all you're trying to do is not give up because you've invested. You're invested in time. You're invested in the idea. You're invested in the monetary value that you put behind it. And you know that it can be successful if you can just get out of the stuck. Come on, somebody. If I could just get a bridge to results. Somebody, I need a bridge to results. All I hear on social media is how to do this and how to do that. But once I get into the middle of what I'm supposed to be doing, the how really isn't there. They say it is, but there's some pieces missing. And the only way for me to get those pieces is to pay more. But I've already invested all I have in the so-called strategy. I know I'm talking from experience, but I believe that God is talking to those of us who feel like we're stuck. I believe that's a manipulation of the enemy. And I do believe that God is going to bring forth light on the topic, on the subject, on the situation, on the circumstance. I have to believe that he will not leave us out here seemingly floundering for air and him not provide. I can't believe that. So I thank you all for joining me here on the radio, joining me on the podcast, joining me on all of the platforms. I'm grateful to you all so much, and I can't wait to talk with you guys next week.